This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. Now, this week, I'm joined by Karan, back again on Scout the Game Week. For this time, actually, a more casual chat. I've got no script, no questions. I'm like, let's kind of like discuss and go with the flow, because we're in a game week that is just before a double, and there are so many possible chip alternatives and chip strategies that people are going to deploy this week, even no chip strategies this week. So, I mean, for 34, that I'm like, okay, it's going to be very hard to try and curate everything into like specific questions. So, let's kind of go with the flow. First of all, Karan, how are you doing? And how's the season going so far as well?
I'm well, thanks, Ryan. How are you?
Not too bad, actually.
Yeah, I'm still not over the fact that Liverpool drew against Man United. So overall, it's going to take some time. And maybe the best thing would be next game week's football once it starts. The season so far has been a bit of ebbs and flows. Currently ranked at 298K, about 34 points off 200K and 47 points off 100K, I think. So I don't have many expectations for the remaining six game weeks. I think it's about either just making your rank solid where you are or going a bit of couple of differentials every week and trying to see where it takes you. I might follow the latter just because 300K, you know, there's nothing to lose.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. So I'm 253K right now. So not too far off from you. And I'm still on the hope of trying to, like, I'm in a mini league race and I'm like trying to catch this guy at the top. And he's like 70 points ahead of me. Now, it might be pretty impossible to try and catch that, but I'm willing to take the risk, right? Because just like you said, right? 200K, 300K. I mean, I don't really, that's not going to change much for me. So, I mean, getting top 100K would be nice. But anything outside that, I'm like, yeah, oh, well, it is what it is. I don't really care about it. I want to try.
The thing with my mini leagues is I'm on top of both of my mini leagues.
Okay.
So one is my work mini league and one is just a friend and cousins kind of a thing. So I'm on top of both. I think the gap is about 65 points in one of them and about 35 or 40 points in the other. So for me, from that point of view, I think I'm kind of safe because most of the template picks itself for the rest of the season. But I'm thinking differentials might be the fun part of it. So
fair enough, right? Like at this point of, because like at the start of the season, we are so focused on trying to like make right moves, right decisions, and try and like aim for rank, and then we get to a point where like we get to this latter end of the station, and then people are like, okay, mini leagues, and then you're trying to have fun in the game and trying different styles of play. That's why I find this more the more interesting part of the season, where just like everything is like try different.
Yeah, the team values there. Yeah. Fixtures have already been announced. Yep. Just apart from game week 37, so everything's in front of us, and I don't think money's going to be an issue for the rest of the season.
No, not so, really as well. Based on how like the premiums are playing as well, they're not really shouting for, oh, have all of us in the same team kind of situation. So, yeah, that's like I'm way open to like trying a few risk, because if I'm thinking of trying to catch 70 odd points, I have to try risk.
Yeah, you gotta go for it.
Yeah, and I can't play safe and like assume that I am going to catch those 70 points. That's impossible. Now it might still be impossible, but I got to try it and see like if it's possible or not.
Especially with City and Liverpool and Arsenal, all three of them playing in Europe, I think there could be a couple of differential short-term punts that could try for this week or even next, or even 35.
Now, last time I got you on the show, you were on a free hit 34 plan. Has that changed?
It would have changed had Kelleher been a solid, sturdy 34 pick, which I doubt he is because Alisson's almost back. Mm. I've got Darwin, Kelleher, and Salah as a triple up. Jota's almost back, so I feel Darwin might be at risk given the recent slump in his output. So I don't think I cannot not have free hit 34. So I do have to have free hit 34. Mm. So kind of, I did a couple of routes where I was like, okay, what if I don't do free at 34? Maybe save it for 37 or 38 even, but doesn't look worth it. So yeah, free at 34 it is.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm currently on a dead end in 34, wildcard 35, and bench boost 37 bench plan. Boost. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so still stuck to
completely
that.
Opposite strategies, exactly. Right? Because you've got two chips that I don't have, and I've got one chip that you don't have.
Exactly. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation. I think people who are listening to this as well, I know a few people are on a free hit 34, wildcard 35, bench boost 37, and they will be looking for 1 week punts for this week as well, because like they don't really care for 34.
I think when we go through the fixtures, I think that's where it's going to get interesting.
Exactly. All right. So let's start with I don't think we'll cover all the fixtures. We'll talk about some of the more important ones. Let's start with the Newcastle versus Spurs one though, because now we got
goals.
I know we got the double confirmed for Spurs and Chelsea for game week 35. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because you are on a free hit 34, so you don't have to worry about the potential sell-ins or bench-ins of Spurs players per se. I, on the other hand, I'm on a dead end on 34. So I've got Pedro Porro, who scored and got like pretty good points this week, but I need to kind of like either sell him to make funds, because I have zero in the bank. So actually, let's switch it to our team so people can get an idea who's watching this on YouTube. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast platforms, we'll just read it out for you. So I'll start with your team first of all, Karan. So you got Keller in goal, Gabriel, Antonori, Gusto, Palmer, Son, Salah, Saka, Isaac, Darwin, and Haaland. And on the bench, you got Petrovic, Gordon, Udogi, and Tarkowski. You got two Spurs players. And then for my team, I've got Dubravka in goal, Van Dijk, Gabriel, Reguilon, Salah, Palmer, Saka, Odegaard, Darwin, Solanke, Haaland. And on the bench, you got Areola, Garnacho, Pedro Porro, and Brentford. Now, I am looking at the moment to potentially bench Pedro Porro. But I have two free transfers, and you also have two free transfers, which is what you mentioned.
So I think for you, it's a dead end in 34, right?
Yes.
So you're kind of moving away from Spurs, maybe bring them back in on a wild card 35.
Yes.
Do you have value tied in on, either of?
That's the problem. So I have value tied in Pedro Porro of at the moment about 0.2. Now, if he increases in price, I gain an extra sale value. I'm hoping to see whether he'll increase in price this week. I don't know. Because he got like, usually when a player gets a lot of haul,
that's FPL towers for us, right?
I know. They tend to try and rise, but we don't know, right? So we'll have to wait and see. Now, the thing is, if I have zero in the bank, now if I can bench Porro, if I really know I want him in my wildcard in 35.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? There's Udogie, who's a cheaper alternative. Yes. And I'm sure a lot of us, including me, in game week 30, when we wildcarded, we went Udogie instead of Poro, even though we didn't catch the haul that Poro was always showing glimpses of. So kudos to the people that have held on to him. But yeah, there's a definite point to be made between Poro, Van de Ven, or even Udogie. Because even Van de Ven scored a Thunder Bastard header, right? So I think... yeah, you can save your money if, because I don't see clean sheets for them anyway.
Yeah, that's and the thing.
Do you given that Madison, well, honestly, I was having a chat with a couple of our Australian community members. I'm actually regretting going double up on Chelsea defense and also a Spurs defender on game week 30. As much as the template was there and the double game week just got announced, and I feel double Arsenal was the way to go even in game week 30. So I don't think Poro or Udogie are essentials as such, even though the fixtures are a handful. I don't see clean sheets for them.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the thing, right? So this is where, even this game, I don't see clean sheets, right? I think Newcastle at home, they will score.
I see a 4-3 or a 3-2 kind
possible,
of a game.
Very possible, because both teams defensively aren't that great. Now, obviously, Newcastle have kept a clean sheet, but they were very fortunate, I would say, in one way, to keep a clean sheet. But the, I guess it's the more like so expensive Pedro Porro right now that even if I sell him, buying him back maybe might not be an issue, because I'll probably not have one, like I might not have two premiums. We don't know. We'll have to see. I haven't thought about a 35 wildcard. But the question is, like, going forward, is Spurs defense worth it? Like you said,
okay, let's, while we're talking Spurs defense, let's try and guess. Again, things could change with injuries and the other fixtures that are yet to be played. Let's say, what would be a 35 game week wildcard defense? I think people without a bench boost would probably go Onana or Pickford as the goalkeeper.
And a
cheap keeper. And then they would go, if you're not going Onana, sorry, if you're not going Onana, you'd go Man United defense. And if you're not going Pickford, you probably would go Everton defender. Because Everton,
like a Branthwaite, maybe.
Branthwaite. I went Tarkowski as my Lascelles replacement last week. And then, of course, Arsenal defense still remains essential. I think they're the best defense by far in the league. And they're going to close the season well, hopefully. Where else do you go? Ait Nouri is coming up as an important pick. If he's injury-free, you can go there. Because good fixtures before and after 34 as well. Gusto, maybe people would go there because of the doubles. Their doubles are probably better than Spurs' doubles, I feel.
Yeah, I would say so. Because they got Aston Villa at Tottenham, which, looking from it, like defensively not great. But Gusto has a chance of like attacking return. And I think
he's cheaper.
Yes, that's the thing. He's extremely cheaper compared to the Spurs defenders.
Yeah. So there's a case for no Spurs defenders, but I'm sure a lot of game week 35 wildcarders will go there because of the doubles.
Yeah, same. I would probably go Gusto as well. Now, the Spurs defense, I probably have to see, because like ideally, now you mentioned Everton and Wolves, they don't really have a double in 37. Now, for those who are bench boosting, they
Everton plays like Sheffield though.
Yes, that's the thing. And Wolves play Crystal Palace in 37.
Yeah.
Those are good single gaming fixtures as well. So for those who don't have the bench boost chip, it's a really good option to like cheap defenders, can trust them in certain games to pull a clean sheet and all of that. Then you've got Arsenal, who are just...
They're the Rolls Royce of defense right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't have a double as well, but their fixtures are a bit more... kind of complicated. Like, you've got Spurs and United. Defensively, you would expect Arsenal to keep a clean sheet, but you never know, because one is a London derby, and then the United game is in game week 37, just one game before. Maybe they'll still be in the title deciding game. You never know. Anything could happen. And then they got Bournemouth and Everton. Everton, you never know. Game week 38, I don't know where they're still fighting for relegation.
They might still be fighting for the relegation. Yeah.
So there's survival. So many, like, narratives that we can build, but for the moment, at least we know Arsenal defense is generally pretty tight, even though Champions League 2-2 scoreline against Bayern, that's a different story. I would say Champions League, it's I give Bayern and the likes of Real Madrid and all more European pedigree, so
yeah, they're not gonna play every day against those kind of teams, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
So, okay, let's go back to Spurs. Now, you have Heung-min Son, right? Now, you are not looking to sell Heung-min Son because obviously, free hitting 34, you don't need to really sell him. Why are you thinking about
I
it?
think for me he's a season keeper.
Okay.
As much as he's not been showing form or giving points in the last couple of game weeks, there's always a monster haul in him, especially against the big teams. And given that Ange and Spurs are gonna have a big say in the title race, I feel he's probably the only attacker from Spurs that gives me confidence, apart from maybe Brennan Johnson. But Brennan
Yes.
Johnson again could miss a game or two, given that Werner's there, Kulusevski's there. Richarlison might be back soon. So Son, probably for what it's worth, you want one attacker from Spurs, and maybe that's where Son becomes the template pick.
Yeah. Now you were going to say something about Madison before I kind of interrupted. What were
Well,
you?
I think yeah, because we were talking about Porro and Udogie, and that's where because of Madison coming back, it feels like he's carrying a niggle or an injury. He's
Madison,
not been, yeah,
yay. He hasn't been the same.
he's not been at his full flow yet. But if there is a second attacker that someone's probably looking for, I would say it's either Madison or Brennan Johnson.
Yeah, at this point, I would lean more towards Brennan Johnson for the moment, at least. I kind of feel that even like whenever he's on the pitch, I feel like he impacts the game. And he gets on the
Yeah,
end of things
there's
or
always
creates
a,
stuff.
an assist or a goal in him.
Yeah, that's the
There's
thing.
always, yeah, he's playing much more forward compared to maybe even Werner. Because I
Yeah.
think, and Werner is fairly wasteful when compared to Brennan Johnson. I think Brennan Johnson, whenever he's got a chance, he scores or converts his chances better.
Yep. That's the thing. So I at the moment I'm favoring Brennan Johnson, but Heung-min Son first, but then Brennan Johnson after. Now, for those of people who are like, let's say looking to dead end in 34, would if you had a Heung-min Son with him playing Newcastle this week, let's say he was the only option to sell, would you still sell?
No.
Fair enough.
I think Newcastle's defense is there for the taking. And Son being Son, he's a clinical finisher. Even if he gets an odd chance outside of the box, you know he's very likely to score. And I feel there's going to be goals in that game. So I'd be very wary of the fact that Son can perform.
And okay, so that when I sold him in like game week 31, I was worried about the Forest game and I was worried about this game because both teams are defensively that he was facing aren't the best. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens, but
Yeah, and then again, I think I keep repeating myself when I say there's a problem of plenty in attackers this season because there's so many good picks. And right now I've got 7 of the 8 template picks from game week 30 wildcard, but not Foden. And what happened? Foden hauled with a hat trick. So you can't have all, right? And that's where I think the season is going to be for the remaining of the season. And that's what makes it fun, that you've got to pick your differentials, and then it may work or it may backfire.
Fair enough. That's true. Okay, now that you mentioned like Foden and City, let's get to the City game. Because they play Luton this week. Now, 3-3 in the Champions League, so that tie is definitely not over. The advantage is that they bring it to the Etihad, which means might favor them at the moment for them towards qualifying. Having said that, do we expect rotation? Now, Foden came off with the injury, but then Pep kind of like shrugged it off. He said
Was
he
a
was
dead
just a knock.
leg,
Yeah,
yeah.
dead leg, just a knock. He said he should be fine because he said he was arguing with Pep because he got subbed off. So he should be fine. But is there a chance for rotation? Maybe we get some leaks, possibly, because the game is not too late. There is a possibility, but what do you
I
think?
think there's gonna be rotation for sure. There's the likes of Grealish, Doku, who could very much cover the wing. You could probably see an Alvarez starting in the middle. KDB was rested. I
Sick.
think he was sick. Yeah, he's from. I think there was some embargo quotes that he vomited just before the game, and that's why he didn't start. Not sure whether KDB still gets some minutes, just to
Don't know if he'll be
warm up for the
risked.
next game.
Maybe, but I had this feeling that Real Madrid second leg is so important that Pep just wouldn't want to risk him because you never know,
Yeah,
right? KDB,
he's a big match player at home. They need to win. So I wouldn't be surprised to see KDB, Foden, and Haaland, all of them benched, to be honest.
That's the thing.
Because it's at the end of the day, it's only Luton, and I think it's at home, right? Or is it away?
It's at home.
Yeah, so there you go. So, very likely could play Rico Lewis on the right, and Oscar Bob in the midfield. You know Pep, when it's about Pep roulette.
I mean,
But yeah, very important game for Madrid,
yeah.
against Madrid. So I think all three could be benched.
I mean,
As much as I was
yeah, good.
excited, sorry,
No,
I keep
go ahead,
saying,
go, go,
but as much as I was excited that KDB didn't get a start, I was thinking maybe he's the differential one, that you could chase in the short term. But because later on we got to know that he was sick, yeah, maybe not the move that I want this week.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, the thing is, Pep has already shown in the Aston Villa game itself, he can rotate and still kind of comfortably
Pump
beat a
teams,
team. Yeah.
yes.
So I've and that I didn't even expect rotation in Aston Villa because I was like, oh, this is a big game, very important, tough team, like a team that is fighting for top four and all of that. And he just rotates and like, yeah, no problem. Here we go, 4-1 or something. And they're like, yep, easy. So now this is against Luton as well, relegation team as well. Now Luton do make it hard for opponents, but that's mostly when Luton are at home, not when they're away.
Yes.
So I have been contemplating potentially, because and I guess this is the kind of in one way a slight luxury potentially could backfire. If we get like news that Haaland is like not starting, I'm thinking of even potentially selling Haaland and getting in a replacement, maybe a Mateta from Crystal Palace. Now I might not play Mateta this week, and because he plays Liverpool, I might just put him on the bench. But I have Garnacho on the bench, so I could start Garnacho against Bournemouth if I wanted to. That is something I'm considering because I've got two free transfers, and if I don't really want to sell Porro and I decide, okay, if Haaland is not starting, I could probably sell Haaland.
Yeah, you could get two doublers this week, right? I mean, when I say doublers, in preparation of
Yeah.
game week 34. And again, money's not going to be an issue on a wild card 35, I feel. So yeah, if Haaland's benched, I think there's definitely a viable strategy or a plan to go Haaland out. Maybe consider even bringing in an Alvarez if you want to just take a short-term punt for a week, given that you've got two free transfers, right? And if you're kind of burning the other one, or if you're not sure what you're going to do with the other one, maybe think of Alvarez as a punt.
Probably. The reason I was thinking of the Haaland out was because, okay, they play Luton this week. If he's not playing this week, the next one is in 34. But before that 34 fixture, they have the FA Cup semi-final, which he might play a strong team, Pep, in that one against Chelsea. Then they play in 34, I think they play Brighton on the last day.
Not sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
I'm
haven't
looking at
even
the
looked at
fixtures
the
here.
34 fixture because I'm thinking of a free hit.
Oh,
So,
okay, fair enough. So they play Brighton on 34. And then in 30,
right.
so that's on a Friday here in Australia, obviously Thursday, in the UK. And then on 35, they play Forest. Now, FA Cup, Brighton, Forest, if they beat Real Madrid, a tie against either Bayern or Arsenal. Not the easiest. So I'm like, there is rotations about to hit somewhere, either in 34 or in 35. I'm not really sure which one it's going to hit in. It could probably hit in both, like we've just seen from the Aston Villa and what did they play in Crystal Palace games. We saw rotation in both games. So that's why I'm like, okay, is it a possibility that I could probably kind of consider if he's not playing?
And that's what I think it's advantage wildcard 35 because you'd probably have seen a bit of rotation in
In
the
34.
33 and 34
Yeah.
fixtures so that you can take the best guess. I know with Pep you can't take the best guess, but you're still closer to game week 37 where they double. So, and if there's an injury or two, so people who have wildcarded in 28 or 30 would be chasing our own tails as to where to go with Man City because you would want a triple up on Man City most likely in 37.
Yep, that's true. Because the fixtures are good, right? You definitely want Foden in. You probably want for Haaland in as well. And then the third one is that, do you go for the KDB move or do you go for the? I mean, we saw Guardiola score a banger against Real Madrid this week in defense. Do you want to go for the defensive? Even though they don't keep clean sheets, there is a possibility we've seen for the attacking threat. So that's where you're kind of
Well,
like.
I'm just looking forward to all three of the teams staying in for the title hunt. And I think that if the title race is on, that would make FPL a lot more interesting for the game week 36, 37, and 38.
Yes, especially if Real Madrid, sorry, if City play Arsenal in the Champions League semis as well.
Wow, that would I'd be happy as a Liverpool supporter.
I think there's chaos everywhere. Rotation is about to hit, and everything will just be like next level chaos. So I'll be interested for that because chaos means like no one can predict stuff, and I guess variance is high. And when you're chasing rank, you probably want a bit more variance to like kind of hit your way.
It'll become a lot more open ground, I feel,
Yeah.
and I think that's when you enjoy, right? Because you know that the outcome is not necessarily the best judgment of what the decision you made. So if you've picked the right picks for the right reasons and you get burnt, there's logic to the madness.
Fair enough. All right, now from City, let's go to Liverpool. Now, Crystal Palace this week and a double in 34. And after that, no doubles after that. Now, Jota posted saying that he's back. We don't know whether that means he's just started training or whether he's going to be fit for
Well,
34.
we still play against Atlanta
Oh,
tomorrow,
yes,
is it?
that's
Or the day
also,
after? So
yes.
we would get to see if he's on the bench or where are things at with all three of them actually. Alisson, Trent and Jota are expected to be back sooner rather than later.
So where do you stand with like Liverpool in terms of like Liverpool players to target? Because a lot of people, I had questions on my like team selection Q&A that I did on my channel, where people were looking at Heung-Min Son. They had two free transfers, and they kind of wanted they had to kind of sell Son because no one else they could sell because they were dead-ending in 34. So they needed the other players for the double in 34, and they were looking at Liverpool players to get. So some were looking at Diaz as a potential alternative, like sell Son, get Diaz in. Because they already had Salah. Where would you kind of
I
land?
think Diaz has been lightning over the last three games or four games. He's back in form. He's now in the form that we wanted Diaz to be in at the beginning of the season. So I definitely feel that the stats are there. I think I read somewhere that Darwin overall in the season has got a better XG, but in the last six games, Diaz's XG is higher than Darwin. I think his is 0.68. Or one's is 0.69. So there's a significant rise in Diaz's numbers and stats. And you can see it on the pitch, right? Even the eye test says that the amount of hard work and the grind that Diaz is putting in, he's always there in a position to score, although he's missed a couple of sitters. But you want your players to be in those positions. So I totally and given that if Liverpool keep a clean sheet or two over the next two game weeks, that's an extra point for Diaz. And a goal gives you extra points as well compared to a starter, a forward like Darwin, for example. So I think I've got Darwin and Salah, but if I had the luxury today to pick my two, I would probably go Diaz and Salah.
Fair enough.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Defenders, I think Van Dijk is probably the safest pick.
Yeah, I've got Van Dijk, but so far he's still. I took a hit for Van Dijk in like game week 30, I think.
Did he score a header when you got him in, or
No,
no?
he hasn't got a single clean sheet yet. I'm still waiting for him to return for that hit.
Yeah,
But
that's the thing, right? Liverpool have been, and I think Liverpool and Spurs are the two teams that should be keeping clean sheets on paper, but they find ways to concede. And that's what happened even against Man United for us, so.
I know low XG shots and like Man United low XG shots. The game before that badly scores an own goal from the most unlikely scenarios against Sheffield United. So I'm
Yeah,
like,
we find ways to concede, man.
yeah. So I'm just like, oh, when is Van Dijk going to return? Now, in general, I don't know if this is a thing, but he just somehow in double game weeks he finds a way to like score for some reason. I kind of remember him in like various double game weeks. Even this last 25, I think he did as well. So he just finds a way to return in double game weeks for some reason.
Yeah, on my free hit, I'm thinking already if everyone's fit, I'd probably go Salah, Diaz, and Van Dijk as my three.
Fair enough. Okay, so
As much as Diaz is back, sorry, Jota is back, so that might be a minute's risk for Diaz, because we know that Salah is a sure shot in the front three, but the other two spots, there's three or four players. As much as Gakpo is not in form and he hasn't, been in form over the last 3 to 4 months, that's where I feel Jota coming in. We needed that finishing over the last two games. We've missed Jota's finishing, so I feel Jota comes straight in as soon as he's got his minutes managed in the Europa League, and that's where it'll be tricky. Who gets benched, Darwin or Diaz?
Fair enough. One to kind of wait and see. Okay, talking about more rotation and possibilities of rotation, let's move to Arsenal, who play Aston Villa. Now, Ollie Watkins' owners will probably look to potentially offload him here. And then whether they get him back after, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could get him back in like 34.
There's only one fixture, I think, against Bournemouth.
In 34. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But people are not, with the doubles and everything, I think very unlikely that.
Well, there's a case to be made for, even when you're free hitting, there's a case to be made for Watkins. As much as there's attraction on double game weekers, but we've been burned in the past by double game weekers, right?
And all the single game weekers return. Yep.
Watkins can easily brace against Bournemouth at home. So
that's true. And then game week 38 is Crystal Palace at home as well. So also Crystal Palace away, I think. Game week 38.
Yeah. So, but if they are fighting for top four, that might be a fixture for Watkins. But I feel at least is he the highest scoring forward in the game?
Yes,
he is.
I think he might be the highest scoring player in the game as well. If I am not mistaken.
As much as we are chasing double game weekers, I feel maybe there's merit in holding him.
Yeah, he's a high scoring player as well in the game at the moment.
So
that's the thing, right? Now, even when I'm looking to wildcard, it may sound crazy, but his fixtures in 35, Chelsea, 36, Brighton. Now, 37, I might sell him, potentially, because against Liverpool. Right?
Chelsea and Brighton.
Yeah, like, attacking-wise, they're pretty good, I would say. So
this reminds me of Kane of last season, where everyone was just so obsessed with Haaland. No one really was focusing on getting Kane in. And I think Kane consistently performed, and I think he's very close to getting the Golden Boot. I know, Haaland had a breakthrough season with 50-plus goals across the year. But Kane was playing very well. And this version of Ollie Watkins is almost Kane-light as to what it looks.
Yeah, that's the thing. And people might continue to ignore him because now his EO is just like way down. Now he's absolute differential at this point.
Yep.
So something...
I wouldn't mind a Watkins brace against Arsenal.
Fair enough.
Even if it hurts my rank.
Fair enough. I don't think it'll hurt your rank at this point. His EO is so low that it probably might not, to be honest. Because his 13 points, I don't think hurt that much this week as well, to be honest.
And is Douglas Lewis injured?
He's out. He's suspended.
So we don't know who's going to be on penalties, right? I know Watkins doesn't have a good record, but...
Yeah, I don't know who else could potentially take it.
Tillemans could take, but he's never on the pitch all the time, right? He's probably a substitute.
I don't know. Leon Bailey, maybe. Yabby.
Yeah, there's... I mean, if Watkins wants to go for the Golden Boot, puts his hand up.
I mean, to be honest, true. Maybe if he wants to try it again, you never know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, one to kind of monitor and see for those who have Watkins owners. Arsenal, on the other hand, Saka, we'll never know when Saka is fit or not fit at this point. Every day, every game, he just limps off and then we have this always permanent flag on him.
He's becoming the new Gordon.
I know. So we'll have to wait and see on him. We were talking about Havertz before we started recording this. Now, I've got Saka, Odegaard and Gabriel, so I'm kind of locked in. Initially, though, I was considering potentially doing Odegaard to Havertz as well because I have this feeling like Havertz could do well for some reason and he's still doing well. So,
last six fixtures, I think he's at four, or last seven fixtures, he's at four double-digit hauls.
Yep.
He's got 69 points in the last seven game weeks. So, on an average, about 10 points a game week.
And still a differential.
He's not on penalties. Yeah. I think he's about 6% owned or 10% owned or something. So that's ridiculous for a player to be performing like that and to be so lowly owned. I feel there's even a question to be asked, do you want to get rid of Saka and bring in Havertz? You know, if that is a short-term decision that someone wants to make.
Yeah.
Because he's getting more minutes compared to Saka lately.
Mm.
Saka carrying that niggle. Or even a double up, like you've got Odegaard and
I've got Odegaard.
Just imagine,
and Saka,
Ryan, if you had Havertz in place of one of those two attackers for the last six game weeks, you'd be in the top 100k right now.
Yeah, probably because I've had Odegaard and Odegaard has returned twice, but Havertz has returned like three or four times over that time. If you make a good case, because there is a possibility that Saka, you know, potentially gets rested. Now, the only thing is it's against Aston Villa. Now, as much as City had the luxury to rotate, I don't think Arsenal had the same level of luxury to rotate as much.
Yeah, especially given that Arsenal was so close last year at this time of the season to be chasing Man City.
Yeah.
And then I think it was around this game week that the train got derailed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm sure Arteta, and they look much more galvanized this season, but Arteta would be mindful of, you know, keeping the group intact. Mm. So you're right. I think Man City have the luxury to rotate, but Villa can be a banana peel for Arsenal.
The one thing is, now you mentioned no Douglas Luiz, right? And I think since Villa's last couple results and their defensive numbers have gone down significantly. So they're conceding goals quite a bit as well. So Arsenal could do well here as well in terms of attacking returns potentially. So again, if people are looking for differentials, one-week punts, Havertz for this week as a one-week punt is not a bad shot.
And even in 34, they've got a double game week, right? So people, of course, who are wildcarding in 35, there's definitely merit in bringing in Havertz this week and next, and then reassessing in 35 when they play Spurs away.
Exactly, true. So kind of one to consider seeing. We'll come to captaincy as well later, because I think there'll be a few considerations if we don't look at Haaland, but again, Arsenal, pretty good. Now, I think there's one more fixture that I wanted to speak about, and that would be Chelsea versus Everton. Now,
is it at Stamford Bridge?
At Stamford Bridge.
Right.
Now, Everton, obviously, doubled in 34. Chelsea, doubled in 35, and then 37. Palmer is probably the only reliable Chelsea player that I can trust at this moment. And for me, who's looking at a wild card, and I'm going, how many players do I really want for that double in 35? Given that like Newcastle have some good fixtures in 35. I think United have...
Man United and Newcastle go on a really good run from 35.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, how many really do I really want from Chelsea? Do I really want double Chelsea defense? I am not convinced on double Chelsea defense. But then again...
If only Man United were showing better defensive numbers.
Oh,
think there is... Yeah, I know. They're probably the 18th.
Yeah.
The, oh, 18th or 17th ranked defense, right?
Yeah, they're so bad defensively.
If only. Because the fixtures are so good.
It's possible for them to go on a run. It's possible. But they're just conceding so many shots. And it's like,
I think 160 shots in 5 games or something ridiculous like that.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So
if only that was an option, one could make a case for going just one Chelsea defense, so either the keeper or I still feel you could just go Gusto and Palmer on game week 35 if you want to invest in the double game weekers from Chelsea.
Yeah.
And there's a case for Onana to be your keeper.
Yeah. That's the thing. I kind of had to wait and see because I'm on a bench boost, so I probably want two keepers. Now, the thing is, I would go Onana as my keeper, not because United defense is good, but because of the amount of shots they concede, he has to make so many saves.
He's been saving, and I think he's still one of the top two or top three scoring goalkeepers.
I think he is top.
He was the top when I saw him last a couple of game weeks ago.
He's just been beaten by Pickford by a point.
Yeah, and I was just going to make a case for Pickford because... Yes. We know how stubborn Everton's defense can be.
Mm.
And if they're fighting for relegation, I do see a clean sheet or two over the next 3-4 game weeks.
Mm.
Sheets are a rarity lately, but the fixtures are there. They're fighting for relegation. I think they play Sheffield, they play Luton as well.
Yep.
So there's a couple of relegation battle fixtures there. So that would mean, if not a clean sheet, a lot of save points.
In 34, they played Forest as well as part of that double against Liverpool. Yeah. So at least one clean sheet maybe against Forest.
And even with Liverpool, I think, given that Liverpool love to attack and Everton love to defend, there could be a lot of save points. So I'm seeing Pickford as probably the season keeper for the next six game weeks if one is looking for a steady heady keeper who would give them points.
Yep, fair enough. We've gone back to game week one basically.
That's where we started.
Yep. Now the other Chelsea player, I think something to monitor, I would say, it would be Gallagher.
He's been going under the radar, because he's never been considered as an FPL pick, but he scores goals.
Yes, that's right. And he's taken set pieces as well.
He's the player that we thought Sterling would be.
Yeah, you could say that probably.
As the second player.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about it. I don't even know what his price is, to be honest, because I haven't really looked into it. And the thing is, we started this pod by saying so many options in attack that you want. So I don't really know if I want to try and get a Gallagher, who's 5.4, by the way.
Going off topic, yeah, but similar to Gallagher, McAllister, 5.9 yes. or something.
Yeah.
Last six game weeks, he's just been... The moment Endo has come back and McAllister is now playing as an attacking midfielder, I know we went off topic, but similar price point with a double game week in 34, there's a case to be made for him. But yeah, Gallagher, I've seen him score very crucial goals for Chelsea, as much as then they concede and it ends up being a 2-2 or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's there to assist or score a goal.
Yeah, that's what. So one to monitor, I guess, for those who are looking... Or like punts. This is just generally at this point punt territory because we don't know anything can happen.
No one's gonna. I mean, I know you're not bringing in Gallagher. I'm not bringing in McAllister. Yeah. But it's the kind of discussion that we're having, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, if people are looking to try and gain rank from other players who are not template, these are the kind of players you probably have to start looking at because these are the players who are going under the radar and still delivering. To be honest, not like that. We're not talking about players who are in bad form or something. These are players who are in form, but it's just they're not the popular FPL player picks, so no one really talks about them.
Yeah, I'm sure all the players, so Havertz, Gallagher, and McAllister, they're probably under 10% owned, give or take.
So that's what. So some actually players to kind of look at. Hopefully, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, those are the fixtures that I wanted to talk about. So before we end it up, let's just quickly touch on your team. What are you planning with your two free transfers for the moment?
To be honest, I've got zero clue right now because I set it up as a bus team. I think I've got Gordon first bench. Then I've got two defenders playing difficult fixtures. I think Udogi plays Newcastle, and then I've got Tarkowski playing Chelsea. But having said that, I feel I need to free up my Liverpool spot. So I'm potentially thinking of a keeper transfer. And I feel, given that I don't have a bench boost, I could play Petrovic in game week 35 as a double. And do Chelsea double again in 37 or?
Yes.
They do. Okay. I'm not sure where to go with my keeper. But I feel I might need a double up or a triple up for Liverpool just because I'm a Liverpool fan and I know that it's Klopp's last season and if they're in the title race, I just want to make memories and have fun with the game. So if not, I don't have many moves to make. I was thinking Saka to Foden, but Foden's picked up a knock.
Yep.
If we get a leak Foden starting, I might go that way.
Okay.
If we get a leak KDB starting, I might go that way. Okay. Just as a juicy differential.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I've got free at 34, so I can bring in the Arsenal assets that I want.
Yep.
Saka is again carrying a knock. So it's about getting differential on that Saka spot, if I can. And then I'm thinking maybe I just start Gordon because Gordon's home form.
So and to be honest, defense, like we've spoken about.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm not sure what moves I want to make. And that's where I was thinking, because I don't have any moves to make, I've got two free transfers. Maybe I start thinking of swaying away from the free at 34, but I've tried doing that and I'm not getting the right assets in my team. Had Kelleher been a nailed down keeper starter for 34, things would have looked different for me.
That's true. Fair. We still don't know, right? We'll have to wait and see what Klopp says in his press conference or post-match press conference after the Europa League game to see where Alisson is at.
Yeah, you never know, right? If someone picks up an injury, if Darwin picks up an injury, for example, that makes my life easier for the moves that I want to make. But I hope he doesn't pick up an injury.
Enough. Me, I'm gonna say in the same boat. I kind of don't know what exactly I want to do. I don't know if I want to sell Porto or I don't know if I want to sell Haaland. At the moment, it's one of those two. Unless someone else picks up an injury that I have, then kind of probably will react accordingly. But yeah, I'm kind of in limbo, to be honest.
If someone wants to make moves, so if I was to make moves this week, I think it's a good entry point to go Man United.
Yeah.
Especially on a free at 34, because Man United then have a good run from 35 through with a double in as well.
Mm.
Which other teams have a good entry point? I think for people that don't have Newcastle attack.
Yeah, Isak.
It's a good entry point, Isak or Gordon, because then free at 34 if someone has it. And then their fixtures are good throughout the end of the season. Which other teams stand out? I think who's Wolves playing?
Wolves are playing Forest.
That's a good entry point, right? Because if Aitnuri is fit, if someone doesn't have him, I think that's a luxury move that one can make.
Yep.
Even Cunha, if someone's not playing a free hit 34, Cunha is a good punt because I think they double in 34.
Yes, they double in 34.
Yeah. So, Wolves, Man United and Newcastle, I think, are a good entry point. If someone's free hitting, maybe go Newcastle, Man United. And if someone's not free hitting, then Wolves.
Potentially. Yep. Fair enough. All right.
And then you're making a luxury move with potentially bringing Mateta in. So
if Haaland is out. Yeah. That's the thing. So we'll have to wait and see. That I'm not really sure. It's either Mateta or if I have to sell Poro, then it's probably Aitnuri. But then I end up with four defenders in the double game week in 34, which I don't want to do. So that is why I'm trying to avoid this Poro move because I have Branthwaite, I have
But of your four defenders, three of them have good attacking threat, right? Gabriel, Aitnuri, and Van Dijk.
Yep. So I probably might bench Branthwaite.
Yeah. So you're starting Palmer?
No, I would be...
Which of the eight attackers would you be benching?
I would sell Garnacho for a Crystal Palace attacker and bench Palmer and start Haaland.
Yeah, see, benching Palmer is again...
But it's against Chelsea. It's against Arsenal.
Against Arsenal away. Yeah, Arsenal away. So
that's the thing.
Yeah, true. There's merit to that as well.
Yeah.
But I think the best play right now when we're recording the video on a Wednesday night, I feel the best play is to wait because there's more fixtures to be played in this game week.
Yep.
And wait as close to the deadline on Saturday night just so that we know if there's any leaks around Man City. Because Man City is probably the upside play this week against Luton.
Yeah, I agree. Having said that, captaincy. Where are you looking for captaincy?
I think my bus captain is on Haaland.
Same.
And we've spoken about Haaland that, you know, if he doesn't start, you might remove him. I think...
Okay, let's see. Son. If he doesn't Son. Start... Yes, go ahead.
Son.
Okay.
I think I Son, Son is, so is...
He's out. Yeah.
Well, he played, I think, the reverse fixture. He scored a goal and he got an assist. And I think it was a double-digit haul with two or three bonus points. And the only fixture that shouts goals to me is that fixture.
Mm. What about... Now, I know Salah hasn't been in the best of form because he's missing so many chances, but him against Palace, potentially?
I had him captain last week. Yeah. I had him captain the week before, I think.
Okay.
And I think the penalty was, I wouldn't say it was lucky, but it was, from an FPL perspective, we got lucky with the points. Mm. Palace can be cagey as a defense.
Fair enough. Then the
I wouldn't go Salah.
The other one is, I mentioned Aston Villa's poor defense. Saka or even a Havertz. Wild Havertz, I don't know. Maybe too hard because we won't know the team.
Don't tempt me. I might even bring Havertz and captain him
then. Okay, no, don't do that. Because we don't
know
what
team. I think Son is probably up there with the likes of Haaland. Okay. If Haaland doesn't start or if you get a leak or if you get a sniff that he's not going to start, Son probably has the upside. Who is Palmer playing again?
Everton. Chelsea at home.
Yeah. See, Chelsea at home. I think Palmer at home is a different player.
Yes, compared to away. I wish I took that advice when I captained him last week against Sheffield United, but here we are.
Yeah. I don't think there's much upside last week because two players, I think the top four captains, two of them scored five, two of them scored eight.
Yep. So that wasn't much of a difference there. Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been a big swing. Had Salah taken all his chances.
Yes. True. But he didn't. So here we are.
I'm still recovering from that.
Fair enough. I wouldn't talk anymore about that. So, okay. I think there are options this week, but at the moment, Haaland is the straightforward favorite option if he's starting.
And if someone's chasing, go Son, maybe even an Isak.
Unfortunately, punty. I don't have both.
Very punty.
Yeah, so if I'm chasing, I don't know. I might think of Salah just because I'm chasing. I don't know. We'll see. Because I kind of have to take... This is like, if I need to catch up so many points, I have to take captaincy differentials because just having different players alone is not going to be enough.
Yeah, and the template is so strong.
Yep.
I think for the run-in, top, the front eight pick themselves. Yep. So
we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's basically it, Karan. That's all I've got. So thank you for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
No, always a pleasure having myself appear on these pods with yourself, Ryan. Thanks for having me. And you can find me on Twitter, Karan underscore FPL. Looking forward to the run-in.
Awesome. And your Twitter handle is under your name on the videos of anyone who's watching this video. Do follow Karan. And also, it'll be plugged on the socials. This time, we'll make sure that we put the correct handle as well. Last time, we put the wrong one. But this time, we'll make sure we put the correct one. And you can also find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams and sane weekly videos. I have a podcast with Baker FPL. Basically, tonight, UK time, morning, Australia, on the Football Chatbox, we're going to be discussing for Gaming 33 and also how to get towards 34. So that'll be on YouTube. So that's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back after Game Week 33 and looking ahead to Game Week 34. Green aerosol.